Morning.
Morning.
Our first song will be number 392.
392.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let up, be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth crown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Before our prayer, we'll sing number 399. 399.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him,
us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, thanking you first and foremost for another day of life, for another day of waking us up this morning, Father, being able to be clothed and in our right mind, and giving us safe travels, Lord, to be able to come here, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for being the loving God that you are, being the head of our lives, Lord, being able to guide us and to direct us, Lord, so that we may one day spend eternity with you. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who came to this earth and died on the cross for remission of our sins, Lord. We just thank you, God. We're here, good Lord, to honor you and to serve you, O Lord. God, at this time we ask that you would bless the remainder of this service, Lord, that we do everything in decent and in order and pleasing unto you. Father, we also ask that you would bless those, Father, that was mentioned that are sick, those who are bereaved, Father. We pray that if it be thy will, Father, that you would bring them back to their health, their appointed health, Lord, if it be thy will. Father, we ask that you bless the leadership of this congregation, Father, that they're guided by you, Lord, that their efforts and everything, Father, are blessed by you. Father, we ask at this time that you would bless this country, Father. You bless this world, O Lord. That the leaders of this world, O Lord, that they would guide you, that you would guide them, Lord, that they would follow the way that you would have them to go. And Father, also to help us understand, Father, that this world is not our own, Father. We're just passing through. Father, that everything that we're doing right here, Father, we know that the sun rises and sets on the just and the unjust, Father. But that we keep our eyes fixed and focused on you, Lord. That one day we'll be rewarded. Father, we ask at this time that you will forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown, Father. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins and accept our thanks. All things we ask at this time, Father, in the loving name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth?
Love. as we read in John chapter 10, 14 through 18, we read of an example of a willingness to freely give sacrifice. And when our Lord and Savior gave his life on the cross, you know, he didn't go up there with the attitude that a lot of people will have where, you know, I'm only going to do this for my family, or just for my closest friends, or just for a certain group of people. But he gave his life for each and every one of us. And that's true for even present day. We didn't live during that time, but he was giving his life for us as well. So as we are about to partake of this Lord's Supper, we have the two emblems, we have the bread, which represents his body, we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. You know, let us just keep that in mind. Let us clear our minds and reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're so grateful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together in fellowship, to be able to gather together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to come together on this beautiful first day of the week, to be able to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, and to have this opportunity to show our gratitude unto you for your plan of salvation, gratitude unto thy son Jesus for his willingness to give his life. Even though he was without sin, he could have saved himself at any time, Heavenly Father, to give his life, to be that ultimate sacrifice without spot or blemish, to give his life for each and every one of us. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread who represents his body, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's now break the cup. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we come again to bow to you humbly, Father, and thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We pray, Father, as we take up this cup, Father, we do so that it is in a way that is pleasing unto thee, and is worthy of thee. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. Now, this is an opportunity for us to give back a portion of the many blessings. Now, our Heavenly Father has provided us with all that we have. And he makes everything possible for us. So this is an opportunity for us to show our gratitude, and to also to remember the attitude that we should give back, to do so gracious, not of necessity. You know, make sure that we do so cheerfully as we take this opportunity to give back. Let us give thanks. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for just giving us the gift of life, giving us all that we need to live this life, Heavenly Father. Giving us our help, watching over us during our times, and just watching over us each and every day, Heavenly Father. watching over us as we deal with our different issues, problems, being with us during the most joyous times in our life, Heavenly Father, bringing us out of sickness, comforting, just to show us comfort during our times of grief. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for just giving us the will to go out, to be able to work, to be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to give back a portion of the blessings that you have given us. And we pray that as we do so, Heavenly Father, that we'll do so in accordance to thy will. For this we pray for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation this morning will be number 876. 876 will be the song of invitation this morning. Before the lesson, we'll sing number 135. 135. All those that can stand, let's stand and please song.
On Zion summer stood, on Zion glorious summer stood, a numerous host redeemed by blood, they hymned their King in strange divine. I heard a song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul and sing their bliss forevermore. In procession to their view, rise in succession to
the title of the lesson this morning will be, Do You Believe in the Promise of God? I'll be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That'd be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This will be taken from, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ,
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let us give.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. Better than we have been to ourselves. He woke us up this morning and he started us on our way. It's good to see those who are here this morning. Those who are visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. Just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Just want to thank you for your prayers as we were involved in a revival meeting in three different locations last week. Two of them was in Parrish, Texas, and the other one was in Hugo, Oklahoma. The revival was a success. We had those who came from far and near, and just thank you for your prayers. And also want to thank Brother Bob filling in on last Sunday and also on last Wednesday night. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we just again thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather me your word, the things that I say, that you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you believe in the promises of God? Now, think about that before you answer that question. A lot of us say, yes, I believe in the promises of God. But a lot of time we say that is when things are going good in our lives. But we need to ask ourselves, do we still believe in the promises of God when things are not going so well in your life? When you're dealing with problems, when you're dealing with health issues, can you still say, I believe in the promises of God? When you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, what you find here is Peter is writing to those who have received like precious faith. Peter prays that grace and peace be multiplied. Well, the question comes, how are they multiplied? Well, the more you know God, the more you know Jesus Christ. The more you experience and are blessed by the grace of God, the results of that experience will be the peace of God. And when you look at this, he talks about not only grace and peace being multiplied, but God has also supplied us with some things. What has God supplied us with? Look in verse 3 of 2 Peter 1. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has supplied unto us everything that we need to live a successful life. And so God really doesn't have to do any more for us, because he's already done enough for us. No extra work is necessary, because God has given unto us all things. Now notice it's not some things, but he's given unto us all things that pertains to a spiritual life and a life of godliness. That's why it's so important to believe in the promises of God, because whatever God has promised, that he will do. And so the question then comes back, why should we believe in the promises of God? Well, number one, because it is God's promise. This is not a worldly contract. It is with worldly uncertainty. But understand that it is God sent, God approved, God guaranteed, and God is faithful to his promises, because God has promised us strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. When you look at Joshua 21 and verse number 45, he says in Joshua 21 and verse 45, not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel fail. Did you notice that? It didn't fall. Why? Because it all came to pass. Why? Because of the promises of Almighty God. And so not only is it God's promise, but we need to understand, according to verse 4, that it is an exceeding great promise. Now notice this, in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, greater than man could have, much less keep, because the greatest promises involve man's greatest needs. What do you mean by that? Salvation from past sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Forgiveness of present sins, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. Peace with God, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Not only peace with God, but peace with ourselves. But then he promises eternal salvation, Mark chapter 10 and verse 29 through 30. Because not only is it exceeding great promises, but it is precious promises. When you look at the word precious means esteem, especially dear or great worth or value. Precious is a subjective word. Some things might be precious to you, but it's not precious to me. There are some things that might be precious to me, but it's not precious to you. Because why? Things vary in value. Not only that, it's depending on the role they play and that the impact they have on one's life. And so what is it then that makes them so great, that makes them so precious? Certainly because they come from a great God who can do the impossible, and because they lead to abundant life. Now, here is a wonderful thought and a reality that Peter talks about. And so Peter declares that claiming these precious promises make us partakers with Christ. Now notice that it makes us partakers with Christ. Well, the question comes, what is a partaker? A partaker is a participant. It is a partner. It is a sharer. We claim these precious promises as our own when we become a child of God. This then allows us to then share in the divine nature. When we partner with Christ, we become like Christ. Y'all with me? We become like Christ. But this new nature is not automatic. We have to understand that. We must flee. We must escape the corruption that is in the world by evil desires. Now let's notice what he says. He says that in verse 4. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through evil desires. It's sad that too many of us are sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises of God. And that's why Peter goes on to describe the great effort we must put forth to add to our faith all kinds of godly characteristics. Now notice what he says. Now if you're going to believe in the promises of God, there are things that you got to do. He says you're going to have to escape the corruption that is in the world through flesh. But as you escape this, then you're going to have to do something positive. And that's what he says in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. But then notice what he says. He says, now, for if. Now, there it is. There's a condition. You need to do these things. And if you do them, if these things, what he has just mentioned, be in you, he says, and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have these things in you, you're going to be fruitful. But then the opposite of it is in the next verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A lot of us got to understand what he's saying is that what you have done is you have gone back to what I've already brought you from. And so we need to understand that these are precious promises. And then the question becomes then, what are God's great and precious promises? Because God has said that I'm going to do a number of things. And here's just a few. Number one, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and verse number 18. And most of us are part of that church that Jesus Christ had promised to build. It has been in existence for over 2,000 years. And it will remain until the end. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the church has faced its attacks from without and from within. And Satan continues to try to destroy it. But God will not let this happen. That's because he has promised that. And whatever God has promised, that he will do. But then another precious promise of God is that I will be with you. How many of y'all believe that God is with us? Not only in the good times, but even when we're down on our backs, God is still with us. God has made this promise to his people throughout time. In Joshua 1 and verse 5, to Joshua God said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so that I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so that's a promise of God. Even though when family leave us, when family forsake us, God says, I'm going to still be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. That's a promise that you and I can believe in. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28. And verse number 20. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 16 and 17, Paul wrote this to Timothy. Paul wrote, and at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. How many of us have ever felt like that? At one time or another, nobody come to your rescue. Nobody came to support you. Seemed like all had deserted you. But he said, may it not be held against them. But then notice what he says. But the Lord, see, stood at my side and gave me strength. That's what you and I need to hold on to. That even though people may forsake us, even though people may leave us, the Lord, you can say the Lord stood with me. And he gave me strength to deal with what I was dealing with. And that's what God does for his people. And that is, he sticks close to them. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when we go through our darkest nights, and guess what? We will. When we go through them, we need to understand he won't leave us alone. God has also promised that I will strengthen you. In Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hands. I know this morning that it's because of God's strength that I am who I am and that I do what I do. It's because of God's strength and not my own strength. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because there is no way that I can do even half of what I do on my own. It's because of Almighty God. And then we need to understand that it's a promise that cannot fail. It's a promise that cannot fail. It was made by him that cannot lie, made by him who has divine power. made by him who had the only perfect record for keeping his promises. But then you notice there are two benefits of appropriating these promises. Number one, we get closer to the Savior. We get closer to the Savior. Notice this, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Not only do we get closer to the Savior, but we get farther from sin. Because he says, and escape the corruption in the world through lust. In a world of broken promises, I want you to know this morning that the God I serve can be counted on. The God I serve will keep his promises. But no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The promises of God are not yes and then no. They are not I don't know or maybe so. The promises of God are yes. God's promises are many. They run from Genesis to Revelation. These promises are made by God himself, and therefore, they're going to be kept. These promises reflect God's character. These promises are established beyond all doubt. When you look at the word yes in the Greek, it means certain. It means true. When you look at the amen in the Hebrew, it means so be it. It means that it's already done. It can mean fully accomplished. All of God's promises are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So this morning, as I close, when all around you crumble, when all around you fails, I give you the promises of God. When you've been tricked, when you've been deceived, I offer you the promises of God. When the deal goes bad or the joke is on you, I present to you the promises of God. You may not be able to stand on the promises of people, but I guarantee you, you can plant your feet firmly on the promises of Almighty God, because they will never fail. Whatever God has promised, God will bring it to pass. So here's the question as I leave you this morning. Do you believe in the promises of God? Not only when things are going good in your life, but do you believe in the promises of God when your back is up against the wall? When you have nowhere else to turn, do you still believe in the promises of Almighty God? If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It wasn't to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Go in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord then adds you to his church. Acts 2 verse 47, what church? The church that he set up on this rock I build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and verse 18, what church? The church that he purchased with his own blood. The church that he's the head of, he's the savior of, he loved it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. But then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death, trusting in the promises of God. And then when his life is over, if you've been found faithful, you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over many. If you're here and a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, whatever the case may be, don't put it off. Come right now and we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up and bringing us together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance is able to take something from the sermon and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back safely at our next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.